Welcome to this week's edition of the Weekly Fantasy Lounge Podcast. This week, Kevin and I argue about Detroit's starting pitchers, Cole Hamels, hot waiver wire pickups, and when to sit your players during a blowout week. I'm Brandon, known as Ritz at the Lounge, alongside my partner Kevin, known as the Fantasy Guru.
We start off with a little game I like to call odds. Our first odd question is about Roger Clemens, and that is, will he win?
They're even better than they were last year at this point, and if he comes back, he'll probably get near 20 starts. And the team's going to come around and get a lot better than they are now. He's going to pitch good enough to get at least 10 wins.
I won't put it quite at 100%. I'll put it at 80-85 because, you know, there's always a risk that he will get hurt. It's probably a small risk. But he had a lot of starts last year, and he only got 13 wins. And he will only be getting 20 this year.
The team wasn't very good last year, though.
They did, however, go to the World Series.
Yeah,
so.
But in the beginning of the year, that's what I mean. Like, they, compared to where they are this year at this time, last year they were much worse off.
And yeah.
I think that hurt his stats a lot. He has a chance to come back and win, I think, 13 games again if he pitches just like he did last year. Well, I don't know if he'll pitch quite that well, but he should at least get
if you say, think 20 starts, he only has to win half of his starts. That's very possible. And he wouldn't come back unless he was going to pitch, you know, like he thinks he's going to pitch really well and everything. He wants to come up on top. He's not going to come back, you know, with a very low ERA and not getting a lot of wins. He wants to come and end his career on top.
I think it's 100%. The next one we have is odds on Eric Gagne getting 25 saves. I'm putting this at 50. What about you?
I put this at 75. I mean, the Dodgers are a really good team. They're getting solid pitching from Tomko, and a couple guys at the top of the rotation. There's reported that he's gotten his velocity back to where it was before, 95-96 range. And of course, there's not a guy that is going to challenge him for the closer role. I mean, Baez has struggled all year. So I'll put it about 75%.
Like I said, I'm going to put this at 50. I think if Nomar can keep this up and lead the Dodgers to an NL West title and the offense stays okay where they're at right now, I think his numbers will be good enough. But I don't know if the team is going to keep this up, and I don't know if they'll have a chance to give him 25 save opportunities by the time he does come back.
Well, I think it's just if his team plays around a little over 500. I mean, there's over, 110 games, 150 games, 115 games left. That's a lot of games to get 25 saves, and especially with the stuff he has. Our next question happens to be about the young Detroit Tigers staff, and the question is, will a Detroit starter win a Cy Young in the next 5 years?
I'd say there's 80% on this, and yeah, that's a little bit of a surprise, but I think you got guys like Verlander, Marath, Bonderman, and Robertson. I think they all have chances. Verlander has the best. You've seen this kid pitch. He's got lightning stuff. Marath, obviously, is probably out for the year now. But Bonderman and Robertson are good players, too. And, I mean, I think they have a chance. The only real competition is going to be Schilling, who's on the decline, and Halladay and Santana. But I have a hard time believing they're going to win the next 5 straight Cy Youngs together.
Here's the thing. I put it about 20%. And Roy Halladay is having another outstanding year. He's only 29 years old. And then you got Santana, who's 27. Like you said, Marath is actually having surgery today to remove bone chips from his elbow. So that's not good. But, yeah, clearly the top guy in that rotation is Verlander. He's 23 years old. I mean, he's got electric stuff. I mean, he just throws gas. And he's probably obviously got the best shot to win Cy Young out of those four guys.
But I have a hard time believing that two guys are going to win the Cy Young. Just two guys are going to win the Cy Young for the next 5 years, Halladay and Santana.
I don't think you can put it at 80%. That to me, it just seems a little. Oh, it just seems a little too high. A little too high. Maybe, probably in the next 10 years, because Verlander's got, you know, he's got a long window to be very good starter. Maybe in the next 10 years or so, because Halladay and Santana will probably go on the decline by then. But 5 years, I think Halladay and Santana's are locks, the one Cy Youngs.
Next question. Hideki Matsui will come back this season and have fantasy value.
I put it at 15%. He's actually said that he wants to come back, and he's got a type of work ethic that will, you know, hopefully he can come back at the end of the year, but I don't see a very good shot at it happening. I mean, Torrey said he doesn't think he's going to return, and in the game last night, Chris Berman said, you know, he's out for the year, and there's been various reports that, you know, he's not going to even come back this year, so... I'll put it at 15%.
Zero. Zilch. None. There's no optimistic reports out there, and his importance to the team makes you think that there would be some good reports if there was any hope. I don't think there's any hope at this point. It just doesn't seem likely. It was a bad injury. A wrist is horrible for a hitter. I just can't see him coming back, and if he does, it's going to be for, you know, 2-3 weeks, and he's not going to have any fantasy value, so I think you can pretty much bag him right now.
I think the thing is, if you have 2 DL spots in your leagues and you have no one hurt, I mean, well, you know, you might as well keep him on the DL. Well, I mean, there's always a shot. There's always a shot that he can come back. I think he said he wanted to come back in, was it August? Around there, August. I don't know, that's a little too early. I think that's way too early for him. I think September would be a more realistic target date, but just with wrist injuries and with the hitters, it's just not good.
Yeah, I don't know, it just seems like too bad of an injury for him to come back as quick as they wanted him to in the beginning. And
yeah.
There's no good reports.
Well, like we talked about this other day, we look at it this way, a wrist injury to a hitter is like a knee injury to a basketball player. It's devastating to an athlete like that. Another young guy on our list, Cole Hamels, pitcher who has, you know, he's been hurt recently. The question is, will he have a career like Mark Pryor's?
I'm putting this at 60%. He's always had injury concerns in the minors, and after his second start, he was hurt again. I don't know. I have a hard time believing there's another Mark Pryor out there, but I sure hope not. This kid's got all the stuff in the world, and I just hope he can come be a force in the league for years to come.
I'm putting this high. I'm putting this at 80%. Here's the thing. The most starts he's had in 1 year in the minors is 13. He's only had 28 career minor league starts. I mean, and I believe he had 3 years in the minors. So, and that's, you know, what, average of 9 starts per year. That's not good at all. I mean, I'd be really concerned if I was in the Phillies organization or a Phillies fan.
But to say 80% to have a career similar to Mark Pryor, I think that's way too much because it's hard to have a career like Mark Pryor. He's a one of a kind guy. It's hard to have him like Kim and Griffey and Wood. I mean, it's hard to be hurt that much.
They kind of remind me of each other because they have like similar stuff and everything. I mean, they both have electric stuff, and they've had the same type of injuries. So I don't know what. I'm not quite sure how many starts Pryor had in the minors, but I'm sure it was around there. I'm sure he had. I mean, I think he probably had injury problems in the minors as well. But, you know, Hamels is only 22, and, you know, Pryor is still young. So I still think these guys still have a shot of having very good careers, both of these guys. Especially Pryor, because Pryor is going to be back relatively soon, maybe in a month or so, less than a month. So should be interesting to watch with both of these guys.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. As the season has progressed, we see the importance of free agent pickups. Some have been quite hot of late, and questions like, will they keep this up, are flying everywhere. Here are a few of them. First one is going to be Eric Burns. He's hitting .325 with 30 runs, 9 home runs, 21 RBIs, and 7 steals.
He's been a beast, just, you know, to say the least. I mean, he leads the team in stolen bases, and if it wasn't for Sean Green, he'd be leading the team in average, too. And just about a month ago, he's in the 270s, 280s range, so he's raised his batting average over 50%. I mean, he had a great series against the Mets last series, and he's just been raking.
Yeah, but that is his career average, 265, so he's a good pick. He was a good spot pickup right now, but I wouldn't expect it to last, and if you pick him up, don't expect to have him long-term. He he will hit for good average, and he has a little bit of pop. I mean, 9 home runs, and he's going to steal a few bases. He got 7. He's got the speed. You know, the runs are going to be there. He's playing with a pretty decent offense right now, but I wouldn't expect it to keep up.
Yeah, his runs should go up even more. Chad Tracy's struggling right now, and I don't think Gonzo's gotten into his zone yet, so I expect his run numbers to increase. And one thing I like about him is he's got a good on-base percentage and a good average. Will that keep up? We'll have to wait and see, but right now he's a good pickup to have. A guy that just came up, who's been widely talked about the past couple years, is the brother of Jeff Weaver, Jared Weaver, who has had one start so far, and he went 7 shutout innings against Baltimore last week.
Yeah, he gave up 3 hits and 1 walk. He is a top prospect. People have been talking about him for years. He's going to easily have more value than his brother if he doesn't already.
No question.
He's worth a pickup right now, but you might want to watch him since he's young. And I mean, this is his first taste of the big league, so he's a question mark coming into the league, but he's a guy that could be good this year.
I think he's another guy like Camels who is a must pickup. You have to pick him up. I mean, he's got electric stuff. And it should be interesting what the Angels are going to do, because they have Colon returning next week. He just came off a rehab start a couple days ago, pitched well. Are they going to move Jeff down to the bullpen, or are they going to trade him, or what are they going
to
do?
They say that Jeff Weaver's going to go to the bullpen. At least that's what I've heard from a couple sources, so I don't know. I think that makes sense, or trade him, but I don't know what they can get for him.
Well, I don't think his contract, I think he's going to always make quite a bit of $8, $9 million a year. So not many teams want to take that contract up. You know, you never know. The Yankees might take it, but if you remember a couple years ago, his brother was pitching out of the bullpen with the Yankees on the World Series and in the playoffs and stuff. So he could probably pitch out of the bullpen. I don't know if he could pitch well, but
he can't pitch.
He's not very good.
The next guy is Jose Castillo for the Pittsburgh Pirates. He's hitting .311 with 8 home runs and 30 RBIs. He is showing some power and driving in a lot of runs in a bad lineup.
Yeah, here's another guy who's he's on fire lately. He's 10 for his past 20. The last couple years, he's had his averages were in the 260s, 250 range, and he's hitting over 300 now. And he's got a good on-base percentage. He's actually raised his average over 30 points in about a couple days here, so he's hitting really well lately.
Yeah, he's probably worth the pickup in 12-teamers, but like most of the guys on this list, don't expect him to stick around for too long. These guys are all guys that you're going to have to pick up and drop as they get hot and cold. It's just the way it works out. I think his power and his RBI numbers are probably going to go down. He's playing in such a bad lineup. It's hard to believe he's gonna knock in. I mean, he's got 30 RBIs right now. I mean, that's on pace for, you know, somewhere around 100. I don't think that's gonna happen.
Yeah, it's tough getting ribbies in that lineup, but I think there's others. There's definitely more second basemen to rely on, like Lopez and probably Ugla. I'd probably put Ugla in front of this guy. Another Diamondback, Craig Counsell, considered be a hot pickup right now. He hits for good average, good on base percentage, and of course, scoring runs at the top of a pretty solid lineup.
Yeah, he's got 19 runs. He's got 6 steals. He's hitting .305. He doesn't have any home runs, but his RBIs are probably going to increase. I mean, we talked about how good this Diamondbacks hitting lineup is. It's not even. I mean, the only player that's truly hit his stride is probably Sean Green, and now Eric Burns is getting there. And the scary thing is, Green isn't even hitting for power yet, but we know he will. Council's going to steal a few bases, and he's going to score some runs. He's a good pickup in deeper leagues. I think he's got a lot more fantasy value than people think. But a 10 or 12 teamer, I don't know about that. 14, yeah, definitely. Somewhere, he's got to be picked up in deeper leagues.
I think if you're in a deep league and you have a guy like Peralta, who is struggling, and Council's out there, I think you have to pick Council up, because you know he does hit for a solid average, and he'll get on base and score runs, and he'll even steal a few bases. So, deep leagues, not 10 or 12 team leagues, he's a solid pickup right now.
Yeah, and I think he can actually keep most of this up because he's always hit for a good average, and that's pretty much what you're picking him up for. So the next guy is Michael Kadire. He's hitting .287. He has 23 RBIs and 7 home runs. He's very versatile. He can play second, third, and outfield in Yahoo leagues.
Yeah, he's cooled off a bit lately, but before he was hitting pretty well as well.
Yeah, you're probably, if you haven't picked him up, you're probably a little late. It's probably not really worth picking him up yet, but he's a guy that could turn back around and light on fire again.
I think here's another guy that you only pick up in deep leagues, like a 10, 12 team league. I don't think he's a guy to rely on. But in deep leagues, I think he's a solid contributor to your team.
Yeah, I don't know. If you haven't already picked him up, it's probably a little too late right now.
Yeah, but he has cooled off. A young guy that's sort of been a surprise is the second baseman of the Texas Rangers, and that's Ian Kinsler.
Yeah, he's 16 for 40, and 3 of his hits are home runs. He's got good power numbers, and he's getting the chance to start right now at second base, and I think he's going to be able to keep that chance. He could have huge numbers this year if he can keep up anywhere near this. I mean, .390. So he's definitely worth a look right now.
The Rangers definitely like this guy. He's 23 years old, and he just actually returned from an injury about a week ago.
Yeah, I like him too because he came from ASU.
No comment on that one. But this is actually a freakish stat. He actually hit .402 at one level at Single-A Cintron a couple years back. But he had 224 at bats. But you know, anytime you hit .402, that's pretty awesome stuff. But
an American League hitter, he could slide into the DH role. I think he's going to get a chance to start just about it. Unless there's something crazy happens, I think he's got the chance to start most of the games the rest of the year.
Yeah, well, they obviously like this guy a lot. I mean, they traded Soriano, and they're relying on this guy, so they knew that he could step in and contribute to the team. Will his average keep up? I don't know. I mean, you know,
it's not easy to hit .400.
Yeah, but he's only had 40 at bats. So as he gets more at bats and if he struggles, you know, his average will go down. But he's been really, really productive so far in his 40 at bats or so.
Definitely somebody to watch. Corey Patterson is a guy that's kind of had a rebirth. He's never really lived up to that high potential, but this year he's hitting .291. He's got 21 steals and 29 runs. Even 7 home runs. He's a good, cheap source of steals.
I think it was really... Here's a guy. It was good for him to get out of Chicago. I mean, he was the Cubs' third overall pick in '98. And, you know, the Cubs fans do probably have the largest fan base. And this guy had so much pressure on him to produce day in and day out. And he's sort of a guy forgotten in Baltimore now.
Yeah, I think his power is a surprise, and he's knocking in runs, and he's scoring. He's got 29 runs. I don't know why he's going untouched in so many leagues. This is a guy, I mean, you need to have him on your team. This is a guy...
I mean, he's one of the top steals guys in the league.
Might even draft him if you're still drafting for midseason. I mean, draft him, you know, not even that late, not even the last couple rounds. He's worth a 15th rounder, somewhere between 10 and 15 rounds the way he's been playing right now. I don't know. He might be able to keep this up.
If you're definitely struggling in steals, this guy is a must pickup. I mean, he has 6 stolen bases in 5 games, and his average has been up. I mean, he's hitting in the 250s in the middle of May, and now he's hitting almost .300. So, and he leads the team in stolen bases, so this guy's a must pickup. A guy that's had legal problems the past couple years, and pitching problems as well. It's been Cindy Pozon, who's been a really nice surprise so far.
Yeah, he's got a .291 ERA. He's got 4 wins. He's having a great year, which is a surprise. When he played with the Orioles, he was just downright horrible. You know he's going to get the wins in the Cardinals lineup, so...
Yeah, I mean, this guy is... He's been really, really... pleasant surprise. I mean, we didn't even know if this guy was going to be in baseball.
Yeah, he's definitely been up and down, too, the last few years, statistically.
Well, if you remember a couple years ago, he had a solid year with Baltimore. He was 14-6 and with the 3.77 ERA, and then he got traded to the Giants, where he struggled, and he's struggled ever since. So, the knock on him is to teams is it's just been his health, and he's been overweight. So and can he keep his can he keep his weight down and continue to pitch for lots of problem? He has just returned from an injury, and in all of his starts, he's never given up any more than 3 runs. So he's been solid all around.
All right, now on to some strategy here. In head-to-head leagues, it isn't often you will be up 10-0 or 9-1. The question then becomes, when do you sit your players and make sure you win average, ERA, and WHIP, but don't lose the other categories? Kevin, it isn't often when you are up like this, especially you. But what do you do when you are?
That's a cheap shot, but okay. It's sort of a kind of difficult to explain. It depends. Like, how many innings my pitchers have pitched. Like, if they have a lot of innings, and they're up big in WHIP and ERA, I'm going to sit them. Say if I'm losing in wins Ks or something like that, I'll pitch them. But if I'm winning all of those categories, and, you know, he doesn't have that many innings pitched, or he has a lot of innings pitched, and I'm up big in ERA, of course I'm not going to. Of course, I'm going to bench my guys because there's no way he's going to catch up. Because when you pitch a lot of innings, there's no way he can catch up in ERA or WHIP.
Yeah, being up 10-0 is almost more dangerous than being up 7-3 or 8-2 or something, because then you start to worry about when you're going to sit your players. And I think my general rule of thumb is don't sit your players until the weekend at least, and only do so then if you are probably on Saturday, if you're about 4 or 5 home runs up, and, about maybe between that's probably even too little, probably about 10 RBIs up. It takes a lot, because any team on any day can put together a day where they hit 4 home runs and knock in between 15 and 20. I mean, and if you do that and you have your players sitting, then you're no longer winning 10-0. You're close to tied somewhere, because obviously they've hit for good average.
And right.
So, and as far as pitchers go, the innings pitched makes a big difference, because say I'm up by .02 ERA, but I have 60 innings pitched, and it's Sunday, and he's got a guy that's, he's got a stud, and I have a lower level guy, I'm probably going to have to start him, just because if I benched him, his stud would probably catch up that .02 in ERA. And it's risky, but you just got to... A lot of it's luck. I mean, it's just kind of a tough situation to be in, but it doesn't happen often. I mean, it happened to me, but... No, I'm just kidding. But it's just, it's a tough situation to be in.
It's kind of frustrating where you guys are pitching a lot of innings, and, one week they get a lot of K's, and the next week they won't. That happens. That's actually happened to me a couple times this year, where it's been double the innings to the K's. It's frustrating. On to the mailbag. This week, TennisKid808 writes, "Everyone knows the theory, buy low and sell high. As we approach midseason, who would you consider to buy low because you think they will start to improve? And who are some of the people you will sell high because they're overperforming?"
I'll take the buy low guys. So I'm gonna go with Helton, Beltran, Vlad, Manny, Lidge, Pryor, and Street. Helton's got 4 home runs. I think Beltran's hitting, not anywhere near what we're used to seeing from him. He has started to heat up, so you better do it quickly. And Vlad is the same way. Manny, I don't know what's going on with that. He has started to pick it up too, but these are guys that all first round. I mean, Beltran, Vlad, and Manny are guys that you are probably top 5 picks in most drafts, and now they are playing like not that. I mean, they're not even close. Helton, he really hasn't played nearly as well as we know he can either. And then you have Pryor, who's coming off of an injury pretty soon. He's probably going to be able to, string together some wins and some strikeouts and pitch pretty well, but it's a big risk. And then you have Lidge and Street, who are 2 closers that you don't know if they're going to get the job back, but probably. So I think they're good buy low candidates.
Helton will start hitting. I mean, he plays in Colorado, and he's in a they're competing for first place without him, so he'll start hitting. Beltran, hey, everybody knows he had that great postseason, and we can't expect that from him. I mean, he's a solid player. above average player, but he's not a superstar that we saw in that postseason a couple years ago. Vlad isn't in a great lineup, so but his numbers will still be there. I mean, he's an outstanding player, a great player, and MVP candidates every year. So, and the same with Manny. Manny, past couple days, is starting to heat it up, and he plays my Yankees next week, so you expect him to heat it up. You know, he always seems to hit against the Yankees, so I expect him to heat it up. Brad Lidge, we already talked about this a couple weeks back. He'll start pitching like he's capable of. You know, he just was rattled with the Pujols home run in the NLCS last year. And then Mark Pryor, well, what's there to say about Mark Pryor? I mean, you have to sell low on him. I mean, unless you got a Cubs fan in your league who has him, who won an arm and a leg for him, but, you know, that is. And then Houston Street, he hasn't even gotten that many save opportunities, so he'll be all right.
What do you think about guys you want to sell high?
Guys that sell high will be Moose, Mike Mussina, Glavin, Harang, Swisher, Rios, and Hanley Ramirez. Here's Moose. He's been outstanding this year. This is the first year in a long time he's been healthy, so can he keep it up?
I doubt that.
I don't know. Can he keep it up? That's the thing.
Glavin is a guy. He's gonna get the wins with the Mets, but
his ERA. You can't expect his ERA to.
Yeah, this isn't
to be under three all year.
I believe like his Yahoo ranking is in the top 10 right now. And that's definitely a guy you would want to trade right now. He's perfect sell high candidate.
Aaron Harang is a guy that
same just like Glavin and same.
I think he'll be in the K's category more than Glavin will. But you know, the Reds are coming back down to earth. They're not a great baseball team, and so I think Harang will start to struggle.
Yeah, we got Nick Swisher too. This isn't like him. I don't know about this. If he can keep these numbers up, I mean, I don't see it happening. He's a good sell high because he's got numbers all across the board, and so you know people look at that. He's a good guy to sell high on.
Yeah, I agree for the most part. I mean, he was struggling a couple weeks ago, but he's been heating up the last couple days. But don't expect this. I mean, he's a career 250, 260 hitter, so don't expect these numbers from him the rest of the year. The next guy, Rios from Toronto, is another guy. He's so high. Is he going to continue with these numbers? I mean, he's in a solid lineup, but we've never seen these numbers from him. So
no, I think that's the case with all these guys. I mean, well, at least the last three that we're going to talk about, we've never seen these numbers from them, and we don't know if they're capable of keeping it up. Some of the pitchers probably we've seen these numbers before.
Yeah, Moose, you've seen it, Glavin, but you know,
it's all age.
Yeah, it was at the beginning of their careers. I mean, they've kind of had this. These type of years in the last 3-4 years. So.
And the last guy that I know you disagree with is Hanley Ramirez.
That's my boy.
I can't see a rookie keeping this up. And I think right now a lot of people are talking about him, and he's got good numbers. I think he's perfect trade candidate. He's great bait right now.
He's actually struggled the past 5-6 days, whatever it is. His average is dipping down in the low 300s when he's hitting 330, 340. But I actually, he's a great source of steals. So
I don't know about that.
If you have an abundance of steals, yeah, you trade them. Sure.
Just don't look for him as a source of good average all year long, because I don't think he's going to keep it up.
We'll have to wait and see. Let's see how it works out with him and all the rest of the guys on these lists. We still got a lot of baseball left.
Alright, well that's going to do it for this week. Hope you liked the show. Remember to check us out at www.fantasyloungeforums.com and send in all your questions via personal message or email to admin@fantasyloungeforums.com.
For Brandon, this is Kevin saying have a good week and good luck.